Blog Talk Radio. Today, this is Pastor Corrine. I'm glad that you could join me on this day. We're having a little bit of a problem here, so I'm going to play a little music for you as I try to get this technical difficulty settled and we can move on. Until then, here is Brooks and Dunn, I Believe.
Old man Wrigley lived in that white house down the street where I grew up. Mama used to send me over with things. We struck a friendship up. Spent a few long summers out on his old porch swing. In the war, went in the Navy, lost his wife, lost his baby. Broke down and asked him one time, how you keep from going crazy? He said, I'll see my wife and son in just a little while. I asked him what he meant. He looked at me and smiled. Said I raise my hands, bow my head. I'm finding more and more truth in the words written in red. They tell me that there's more to life than just what I can see. Later, I was off at college, talking to Mom on the phone one night, getting all caught up on the gossip, the ins and outs of the small town life. She said, oh, by the way, son, old man Wrigley's died. Later on that night, laid there thinking back. Thought about a couple long lost summers. I didn't know whether to cry or laugh. There was ever anybody deserved a ticket to the other side, it'd be that sweet old man who looked me in the eye. Said I raised my the verse. You can't tell me it all ends in a slow ride in a hearse. You know I'm more and more convinced the longer that I live. Yeah, this can't be. No, this can't be. No, this can't be. Yeah. I believe.
And we are back. I have the problem fixed. Strange how things just happen to turn out at certain times. It is so cold here in metropolitan Detroit area. I mean, it is literally freezing. The temperature is 9 degrees right now. And believe it or not, that's a heat wave because we've been in the minus. I'm not talking in wind chill factor. I'm just talking about the temperature as a whole. It's been cold. We're going to get right into some questions here. We have a question on what is, I could tell you the theological name for it, but I don't think that that will do you any good unless you just wanted some trivia. But the question is about free will and how does grace fit into free will? So we're just going to take a quick peek at it. Now, we already know that grace is that Christian concept rooted in, let's not just go there. Divine grace that precedes human decision. Now, it exists prior to and without any reference to anything that humans may have done. Now, what exactly does that say? That says that grace is a gift. It's not what you've done, but rather it's who you know. And if you know who Christ is, then you're doing a really good job. If you understand the settings and the necessity of knowing Jesus is, I am so sorry. These things are going all which way on its own, and I have no idea what is doing, but I'm going to try to keep up with you. Grace is that thing that we've talked about, that we have free will, which means that we can choose whether we want to be saved or not. This is not something that is forced upon us. There's no, well, you have to do this because God has ordained it to be this way. No. Grace is that thing that says, excuse me, you make the decision, you decide. It's what you want to do. Now, we as human beings, yes, we're corrupted by the effects of sin. But that grace allows people to engage their free will to choose the salvation that God's offered. Now, the thing about grace is that you can choose whether you want to stay saved or not. So, and the concept is simply this. Oh, this once saved, always saved? Well, not if I don't choose to be so. And the fact that I can choose if I want to be precludes the fact that I don't have a choice. I'm going to be. I can sin and do whatever I want. I don't have a choice in any of this. We do have a choice. We can always choose not to be. And if we choose not to be saved, then God is not going to force us. We have that opportunity and that right to say, it was good while it lasted, but I don't want any part of it. We can always say that. No one forces us into anything different at any time. So, no one can take us out of the hand of God except for, that's right, ourselves. We have the right to choose not to be saved. We can always say, I don't want grace. I don't want salvation. I don't want to follow your commandments. I just don't want it. So when we look at things from that aspect and that aspect alone, then perhaps we can see clearly that we have choices in the matter. And because God isn't fair if we don't have choices. If we just are stuck, because that's the way it goes. That's just life. You have to do it because God has ordained it to be such for your life. Thank God he's not like that, that he gives us the opportunity. And any time that we decide, no, I don't want to do this, we don't have to. So the once in Christ, always in Christ, no. You have the option. No one can take you out of God's hands except you, by making the decision not to be saved. That in mind, that no matter what you come across in life, that God has allowed you the choice at all times. We are not robots. We are not designed to do anything other than what we desire to do. I am trying so hard to get this done. And this thing is coming up again. I tell you what, let's listen a little bit to right here while I get this fixed. Thank you. All right, we are back. I'm hoping that things will be settled down now. I don't want to say that the weather's causing problems with the internet service, at least mine, but things are just going a little haywire. We have a question here that says, Dear Pastor, I hear you talk a lot about mankind and sin and the trouble that we're already in. What exactly do you mean? Are we in trouble with God, or are we in trouble with each other, society? It seems to me that there are many different facets that this all could spring from. All right. There are many different facets that it could spring from, and yet every one of them will always lead back to God. So it's been said that the proper study of mankind is man. Some poet said that. I don't remember which one. That's true. But it's also one of the most difficult studies. Know thyself. That's a good dictum, but it's not one that's easy to follow. Because the psalmist asked so long ago, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Well, we don't know the full answer to that because we're still here. I believe, according to the scriptures, that we're not really going to know each other in full, or man, its kind itself in full, until we are who we truly are. And we're not made of flesh and blood. Well, we have flesh and blood containing us, but that's not the life of a man. So we have to wait. The answer is not. There are a lot of different branches of general study of man. There's anthropology, physiology, psychology, and of course my personal favorite, sociology. And we know some very definite things about man as a result of anthropology and physiology. But the psychology and the sociology, which deal with man's behavior both as an individual and as a social being, well, we don't know all there is to know about man in that respect or in those from those particular disciplines. When we look at man as a spiritual being, which we have to, then we have to look at him from theology or religion. And he's a spiritual personality. Now, when we look at how man was made, we have to go to the Word of God. I know that, there's so many different theories about banging this, and this came forth, and the primordial ooze, and this, and that, and da-da-da-da-da. All of these theories that are being expounded that they want to tell you, oh no, it's a fact, it's true. They really don't have any proof of any of it being true, actually. But the Bible says that as a spiritual being, he's created, well, let's look first, the shell, the skin, the bones, and all of that stuff. Well, that's created by the dust of the earth. That was done by the hand of God. And then man is a spiritual being, as he is by the breath of God, because the scripture said that God breathed in him. So he's from dust, man is from dust. And both of these are by the primary power and the purpose of God. Man is a child of earth and a child of heaven. God is his creator. Now, the doctrine of creation answers many questions. I am so sorry. You know that I am a working pastor, and right now I have something that must be taken care of. I'm going to play a little music for you again, and we'll see if what happens.
Is he alive? I don't want to lose my neck. grave said, "Your evilness, maintain your cool. Devil, you are a wreck." Grave said, "Cool your jets, Big D. My sting is still intact. You see, Jesus, he is dead forever. Take it from the grave, brother. He ain't never coming back. So just mellow out, man. Just go drink up or shoot up. But look, devil, just leave old grave alone. A little homie, man, I'll catch you later. Let. Oh, no. And an angel steps inside and says, "Yo, I'm Gabriel, who are you? If you're wondering where the Lord is at this very hour, I'll tell you he's alive and well with the resurrection power." Tried and nigh, but crucified the Lord.
Back. That was Carmen with Sundays on the Way. We were talking about man and him being a divine creature, man of the creation of the earth and also of divinity itself. We have him being formed by the dust of the earth. Not even science can argue with that point. They do like to argue, but they don't argue with that particular point. But and then there is the spirit that is the living part of man. So there is more than one aspect of him, and the dust certainly makes us have a kindred spirit of being what the same, and then being given life by the breath of God. Again, makes us all related to the same. And as they have discovered, we all have those same chromosomes, those same genes, and whatever, people, such precision is exactness, and yet it's all happenstance. But still, so we have the physical and we have the spiritual being, all being done by God. That's the joining principle here. The Bible clearly teaches that man was created, and not just in the first two chapters of Genesis, but as a whole, it teaches such. Now, we need to understand that the Bible is a recital, not primarily of a philosophy concerning God or even a doctrine of God, but of what God has done. And one of the things God has done is this, found right there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, God created man. If we're going to fully appreciate the Genesis record of man's creation, then you have to read that full account in chapters 1, verses 1, starting at verse 1, and all the way through chapter 3, verse 24. Now, you also, along with Genesis 1 and 26, you look at 2 and 7, and both of which show that man was, at the time of his creation, a highly favored and exalted being. There was just no one better than man. And remember, I have said this in the past, that salvation itself is twofold. And because it is twofold, we needed a twofold way back to our original state. And that's why we have the infilling of the Holy Spirit, because he takes away that inherent sin. The blood of Jesus Christ covers those sins that we commit, but it is the Holy Spirit that takes away the inherent sin that is in our makeup given to us by our forefathers. Now, oh my goodness, you know, this seems like it's going to be just one of those days where we're not getting anywhere. Please excuse me once again.
I just want to pray
forever, come on.
Thank you.
We've got a right to pray.
Hello, everyone. I do appreciate you putting up with the interruptions on today's program. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to end this program now as I need to take care of some ministry business. So I do thank you. I am sorry that I did not get to answer any question fully today. But we will pick it up again, and we'll talk a little bit more about man and something about being slain in the spirit is coming up too. So, until we meet again, may God bless you. Living safe. There won't be any closing music because I've got to get out of here. Good night, everyone.